WSBTRadio.com presents a fan's perspective on Notre Dame sports. This is Dome and Domer.
Hey, Irish fans, welcome back to Dome and Domer. I'm Mike Sullivan along with Ed Sullivan and Mike Brammer. We're going to continue talking about the implications of Notre Dame's 38-21 win over Purdue. If you have any questions or comments, send us an email, info@domeanddomer.com, or go to the website and post your comment there. Okay, Ed, I think going into the Purdue game, we talked a lot about how this was in many ways a must win, and coming off of a really disappointing loss to Michigan State, I think the Purdue game really was a statement game for Charlie Weiss and the program. What conclusions, if any, can you draw from the decisive win over Purdue?
What conclusions? Golden Tate and Michael Floyd are faster than most of the Purdue defenders. I mean, the conclusions that are important for us to draw are that we're better than last year, okay? We've improved. And the improvement has been strong. You know, after that, I don't think that you can conclude that, you know, we've fixed our running game or, you know, that we're a top 20 team or any of those things. Purdue's not that good. But we knew that we had to get Purdue. I think this is really important for the momentum of the program and for people to sort of put behind them whether Charlie's on the hot seat and stuff like that. So, you know, that's what's really important about the win and about us moving forward. It shows improvement. In some ways, we need to sort of get off the stage a little bit, because the reason we were on the stage is people were waiting for our imminent death, okay, after the San Diego State struggles.
And by so people, you mean yourself.
No. You know, Mark May and Lee Corso and people like that, if Notre Dame loses to San Diego State, they should drop football. And we were 2 feet, we were 2 feet away from losing to San Diego State, and that put everything in this, you know, question mark and all that. So putting all that to sleep was kind of what the best part of the win. And had we lost to Purdue, it just would have continued that death watch on Charlie Weiss.
I thought there was two things coming out of Saturday's game that are going to pay dividends for us. One is, I mean, we clearly showed that we're capable of playing the kind of game that we need to play. I mean, we played very well in all facets of the game, I thought. And we finally put it together, and we put together what I would consider our most complete game going back the last year and a half almost. The second thing it did is we set a barometer now. We now have a game that these guys can point to, that Weiss can point to, that the whole coaching staff can point to, that says, you guys did it right. We got to replicate this and some. And up to this point, we haven't had that. So, you know, now you've got Armando Allen that's saying to himself, hey, I did 134 yards. I can do that again. I can do it with this offensive line, and these guys can build off that. And I think that more than anything is going to set the tone from a confidence level moving forward.
Brammer, you sound like you may have rehearsed for this. You gave this some thought and prepared something. That was actually very, very well said, and I thought a pretty intelligent comment.
Well, thank you very much.
Apparently the bar is set very low for Brammer.
No, Mike, I think you're absolutely right. The significance of it, yeah. Ed, as you touched upon, no, there's no real conclusions, but the significance of it are all the things it means for the program, for a young team that it clearly is showing improvement, that clearly is maybe getting some people off their back at least for a week. But, you know, with a middle-of-the-road team, all we really did was buy ourselves a week, because now the Stanford game becomes that must win again.
Yeah, there's no question about that. And the scary thing is that the youth of the team, the inexperience of the team, the fact that we still seem to have some struggles here and there means that you go and you look at a Stanford, which you should just be able to put that in pen on the schedule as a W, but we're not ready to do that yet. We're just – It's premature, and I think that aspect for this team could be really good for them in the future, for next year. If week in and week out, they have to say to themselves, we got to bring our best, we've got to focus, and treat Stanford the same way we treat Michigan, the same way we treat Michigan State, whatever. Now you're learning how to be disciplined and how to win. And, you know, that could really bode well for us next year. But the reality is, if we could lose to Stanford. It's entirely possible. I don't think we will. I think we're better than them. But it's not a foregone conclusion.
No, it's not a foregone conclusion. But, you know, clearly, I think of one thing we're seeing in this year in college football is there is absolutely parity. There's no doubt about it. I mean, it's kind of funny. You sit back and you say, all right, we're 3-1. Right now, Florida's 3-1, and USC is 3-1. Who would you rather be? You know, it's frustrating to be a USC team when you've got every single reason to think that this is the year, and then it gets yanked from you because you played horribly against a team that got blown out by Penn State. I mean, Florida's the same way. Make an extra point. Can you guys line up and make an extra point? I mean, it's think about that situation. And, you know, we are not that far removed from Stanford. There's not that big of a disparity between us and Stanford as there is between USC and Oregon State or Florida and, you know, Mississippi. I mean, those are two bad losses that shouldn't happen.
You realize Stanford beat Oregon State first game of the season.
Oh, I didn't even know that. There you go.
Yeah.
There you go. So that there you go. We beat Stanford and we can beat USC.
Well, yeah, of course. We beat Stanford last year and they beat SC, but I'm not sure those things equate. But, you know, we have a lot of teams on our schedule that we're capable of beating or losing to. And so that's, I guess, the same theme that we've been talking about. This is still kind of looking like an 8-4 team. And to do that, it's realistic. To do that, we got to continue to show improvement and play the way we did against Purdue. If we don't do that, the Stanfords and the Pitts and the Boston Colleges can beat us. And look at Navy, you know. You look at our schedule and you think, well, Stanford should be an automatic W. Yeah, but for the things you just said about their game against Oregon State. And then Navy beats Wake Forest, who, you know, had some was ranked for whatever that's worth this time of the year. But obviously Navy hasn't lost all their good their ability to play well since Paul Johnson left. So we're still in a situation where we got to show up and play well and execute every week, or we could get beat.
Yeah, the parity is it's a weird kind of parity too. It's like in some ways it's almost like the NFL. Look at how Miami destroyed New England. You know, you got teams that in the NFL that could be doormats for 3 or 4 weeks, and then all of a sudden they're going to rise up and knock somebody off. And there's a lot more of that in the last 3 years or so in college football. You're seeing that all the time. You've got teams that are in the middle or the bottom of their conference. They've got 3 or 4 losses or whatever. But now you start to look at this kid for Oregon State that ran all over USC. Who wanted him? Like, why he wasn't a 4-star rivals.com kid or whatever. Hey, he's working out. He's working his butt off in the off season. He's got speed, strength, and desire, and they put it all together one day. You know, this is not a situation where you can just count these games. Wake Forest is a good, not a great, but a good football program. And, you know, they've beaten Florida State a number of years in the past. They're vying in the ACC. Navy goes down and beats them. Navy's for real.
Yeah, all the more reason I think you got to show optimism for what Weiss did in the offseason, what he's doing with the program, and where he's headed. Mostly from the standpoint that I think he's figuring out that college football has a lot to do with motivation. And the fact of the matter is he's making the adjustment. It's not like the pros where the talent level is the talent level what it is. And it's a matter of execution. I mean, there's a lot that goes into motivation. I even think that, you know, the speech that he gave in Michigan, I mean, obviously everybody was surprised saying they'd never seen that side of Charlie Weiss. I think he was waiting for that moment to deliver that speech because he knew he had to. And he's now starting to figure out that a big part of college football is week in and week out getting your team mentally prepared and to play with emotion.
Well, Mike,
you got to use emotion.
Mike, I hope you're right. I don't know that we've seen enough evidence to, you know, indicate that. That's certainly one of the areas we needed to improve on, and most people would say that that was a shortcoming of Charlie Weiss coming out of the NFL. But for me, I guess I won't necessarily be convinced of that until we win a big road game coming up against North Carolina or Boston College. Washington, despite how the turmoil they have, we have to go out there and play well. Until we pull a big upset or play well in a big game, then I'll still be a little suspect of Weiss's ability to push those motivational buttons. But, you know, you got to like the direction we're going in.
Let me challenge you on that a little bit. I mean, are you saying at all in his career or, you know, you need to see it now again? I mean, he went and beat Michigan in the Big House when really most people thought we were going to get it handed to us. And beating Michigan this year, I think those are pretty good things. And I don't care what you say. We beat USC in 05. That's my story. I'm sticking to it.
Well, that's an emotional play. There's no doubt about it. I'd argue, even though the Purdue game, I mean, you even said it yourself, this is an absolute must win. So what did he have to do to get that must win? Well, he had to build confidence in his team that they were capable of pulling it off. And they did. I mean, we played with some confidence. We made some plays when we had to, and we beat a team 38-21 that, for all practical purposes, should have beat Oregon. I mean, they had plenty of chances, both in regulation and in overtime. And you know, right there is a win. Is it as big as it should be as the rest of our schedule? No, not yet. I mean, winning at North Carolina is going to answer a ton of those question marks, but the fact of the matter is I think there's good optimism and that we're headed in the right direction. Right,
yeah,
now.
That's what I said. Ed, to answer your question, I think to prove it this year with this – I mean, look, his first 2 years, in many respects, the program started over again, and, you know, we rebooted the system beginning last year. And what happened those first 2 years, you know, let's forget about all that. And can he now do it with young guys that are his that he has to teach the entire you know, textbook to, not just the X's and O's, but how to be a college football player, how to play with emotion, all those things. You know, whether or not Ty did a good job with those guys, we all think he did not. Charlie still had a veteran group of guys that knew how to conduct their business at the very least. I'm simply saying with guys, we're playing freshmen and sophomores, right? And can he get these guys to play with that college emotion? That's all I'm saying. I want to see a road win. And, you know, I think that's also what we need in terms of getting into the top 25. We're 3-1. We're not really getting much of a sniff in the polls. I don't have a problem with that, personally. What do you guys think of that?
No, I don't have a problem with that. Frankly, I kind of don't mind flying under the radar at this point. And I don't really even want to be ranked. As I was saying before at the start, I think we just need to take care of our own business and maybe stay off people's interest a little bit and just do our own thing. I think you're right. North Carolina's game will be a really good measuring stick. If we hold serve and do what we're supposed to do against Stanford and then go on the road and show that we can pack up our team and go on the road, it's one of the great qualities of Lou Holtz. He knew how to take a team on the road. So if we beat North Carolina, we'll definitely start to get a sniff at that point. But I have no problem not being ranked, and I don't
know. I was a little surprised that we didn't get even any votes whatsoever. We got 3 votes on the coach's side, but it was a little surprising in that, but not that I really have a problem with it. I mean, Michigan State's not getting any respect either. I mean, they're not ranked, so you could argue them way more than you could us, obviously. But right at this moment, I don't think it's a big deal. I mean, we don't need to see anything from them as of yet. I think if we beat Stanford and then take care of North Carolina on the road, you'd be hard pressed not to have us in the top 25 at 5-1.
Oh, I think the North Carolina game absolutely gets us ranked. If we're able to win the next two, we're going to be ranked. I don't think there's any doubt about that. But you know, it's just the lunacy of the polls. Might as well, we haven't talked about that yet. It's absurd to even rank anybody before the middle or the end of October anyway. You know, nobody knows who's going to be good and who's not. Relative to everybody else, it's really hard to know. But yet it sets up the whole rest of the season, how you go into the preseason polls. And I know, Ed, that's something that bugs you. You're in and you're out.
Yeah. Yeah, it really does. This year, these last few years, as I was saying before, these crazy upsets and stuff, they're screaming for a playoff system. Because you now look at the way this is set up, and it's actually, I mean, to me, I think you have a weak Big Ten this year. I mean, maybe Penn State is really good. I don't know. But it looks like there's no really good team in the Big Ten, which means that you could have somebody like Penn State run the tables, get into the national championship game, and maybe they're not.
You mean
that
somebody
good,
like Penn State from the Big Ten getting blown out in the national championship game? Where have we seen that?
Yeah, imagine that, right? Yeah, exactly. That's exactly my point. And or you know what would be more likely might even be is that Oklahoma. Who knows how good Oklahoma is? Well, I think so. But remember, a few years ago, they got their butts handed to them. Got into a bowl game, got their butts handed to them. So look at they rise to number one, and you ask, okay, well they're undefeated and they move up, great, beating Chattanooga, Cincinnati, Washington.
Well,
and
yeah, but all that starting preseason poll, that's all based on what you did last year. I mean, you know, let's just understand that. And Oklahoma earned that free pass in the preseason poll with what they did last year. And
I'm sorry to interrupt you, but you come to the table, you take a look at people's merit and make a decision. Alabama's beat Clemson, Tulane, Western Kentucky, Arkansas, and Georgia. I mean, there's three quality wins in their first five games, okay? Now, that should count for something. It should count for more than the fact that Oklahoma did something last year, okay? But this is the point. Get a dang playoff system and make all this stupid stuff irrelevant. And now somebody like USC, who is a bunch of kids that go lay an egg in Corvallis, and now they're out of it.
Oh, you know they're
championship,
not out of it.
And they got to
Well, I don't know that they're out of it yet. I mean, part of it was the whole media putting the way too much praise on USC. I mean, hopefully you would think those guys didn't listen to any of it, but my Lord, I mean, they anointed them before they even got to the meat of their schedule, only because the Pac-10's so bad. But, you know, unfortunately, this is what college football is. I mean, Ed, you've mentioned about holding off on polls until November 1st would be the ideal scenario. Well, the reason that'll never happen is because of all the hype they want with all the early games on ESPN and so forth and number one against number five and all that. I mean, that's just the way it is in college football. It's hype. It's what sells. And, the argument is it's what makes college football great is the way they got it right now. I think the playoff system is going to be a very difficult thing to implement.
Well, we don't have time to sort that one out right now, guys, so why don't we let that one go. We'll be back in a couple days with the preview of Notre Dame's game against Stanford. Until then, you've been listening to Dome and Domer. For Mike Brammer and Ed Sullivan, I'm Mike Sullivan. We'll see you next time.